You're listening to Faithful Fall Ray Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Faithful Fall Ray Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian Sub Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
You have been, you're a lovely audience. Well, not really. You're all fucking maggots. But welcome to the Fatal 4-Way edition of Slowdown, which we're going to talk about this fuckfest of a pay-per-view. But first, I'd like to introduce you to new co-hosts for just tonight. They are, first, from the deepest parts of hell, ladies and gentlemen, Arcane 360.
Yep. Hey, what's going on, Christian? How you doing tonight?
I am doing great, my brother. It's so good to have you on tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, buddy.
You're welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, the next co-host, he is the master of Florida, the king of spring break and the king of summertime. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you DJ from FLA.
Oh, shoot. Thank you for having me on the show, bro. Appreciate
it. You're very welcome, my brother. Tonight, we are here to discuss and destroy Slow Lane, a.k.a. Fast Lane, which perhaps be the worst pay-per-view and the shit fest that is the WrestleMania season. Are you boys ready?
I'm always ready.
I'm ready.
All right, let's begin with the pre-show. The first match of this card was, in the pre-show, was Matt Riddle versus Mustafa Ali in the Retribution, the leader, or former Retribution, if you don't know what happened. So basically, it was a decent match, and of course, Matt Riddle won. But the real story is that his minions turned on him. I don't know if Mia Yim was there. I didn't see her. But what happened
she
was Slapjack. Oh, she was? All right.
She was there. She was the first one to leave.
All right. So she left. So then they all turned on him. And, yeah, Retribution is fucking over with. Now, Arcane 360, what is your opinion, knowing that the fact that Mustafa Ali's career is actually over now that he has nothing left?
I don't think it's necessarily over right now. I think that it's heading that way because they put him into kind of a dumb gimmick to start out with. I think that if they would have kept going with the hacker angle, that would have been better. But I guess they just dropped it and then decided to try to use that as a way to get the Reckoning through. This was only to try to get over the new guys from NXT, and I hope that the former crew of Retribution has greener pastures ahead, other than Ali, of course, because you know Ali is just an Iron Man wannabe.
Yes, he is an Iron Man wannabe. Now we got to hear from DJ from FLA. DJ, what are your thoughts,
sir,
on this? You loved the pre-show match. You thought it was good, but what is your opinion?
It was actually so far, it was, you know, even as seeing the first two matches, it was the best match after like three matches that we saw tonight. So I had a feeling they were going to pull the plug on this. They were talking about this a while ago. They were going to pull the plug. It was just a matter of time. And it didn't help any that somebody put possible spoilers out on a wrestling website saying that tonight could be the night where they pull the plug on Retribution, and sure enough, that's what they did. So I can't say I'm surprised. The match itself between Mustafa and Matt Riddle was pretty good. Unfortunately, Mustafa had to take the L again, like he has been. So, yeah, this didn't come to a surprise. I'm just glad the match was good. The breakup was common.
Yep.
So it was predictable.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it goes right downhill after this because now we have to start with the fucking pay-per-view itself. So,
not necessarily, but that's your opinion.
Yeah, not necessarily, but there was only like one good match and then this one, but that's about it. One more match that was actually good later on, but that's about it. Anyway, the first match of the card was the women's tag match for the tag titles between Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. This match was fucking boring. I didn't give a fuck about this match. We all knew that these two weren't going to win the tag belts. There's really no point.
I'm actually glad. But I'm actually glad they didn't win. But I'm not happy that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler have the titles. I mean, this did further storyline that we kind of already knew was coming. So, yeah, it was kind of a worthless match and should have even happened with this team of Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. They could have easily did what they did tonight on another show.
And you know what else is terrible? They're banking the champion and the Royal Rumble winner look terrible. Like, Bianca Belair has not looked good ever since she's won this fucking the Royal Rumble. She has not looked good at all. She doesn't even look like a fucking contender at this point. I bet you 10-1 because of this whole Reginald shit, nobody gives a fuck about this match anymore. DJ, your thoughts?
Well, clearly this match was put together mainly just to garner some more heat between Sasha and Bianca because this match is already set up for them to face each other at WrestleMania for Sasha's SmackDown Women's title. I thought it was unnecessary. They could have done something else, had some other kind of match put in. And the whole thing was just horrible. The way the finish was horrible. It just felt forced, and it just didn't seem believable. So, I mean, it was pretty bad. I wasn't impressed with what they did with these ladies tonight. So, you know, other people in the back that could have had a match and probably could have had a better match and than what we saw tonight. It just, this match was kind of a waste for me. So
now that begs the question, who the fuck is left to beat these two for the titles now? Who's left? They basically defeated everybody in the tag division. Who's left?
Well, that's a good question. Another question is why did NXT even bother to come out with the women's tag titles? We already had women's tag titles, and those tag titles already went over to NXT, and they fought people. And so what was the sense in them having their own? I don't get. I won't ever get. They could have just, you know, made the women's title was already made, as far as I'm concerned, was already made to go across all three brands. They've been doing it. So they should have just kept it that way and they could have defended it against some other women's tag teams in NXT just to be different. This whole women's tag team is a mess. It's just about as a big a mess as the men's. The men's isn't any better. But that's another story.
You know what else is a mess? Let me ask you, Arcane, the same question.
Oh, your room?
Arcane,
your room, probably.
Yeah.
Your house.
No. Shut up. Anyway, you know what? So back to the same question to Arcane. Who's left to face Nia Jax and Shayna for the tag titles now, Arcane?
Well, I mean, nobody fresh, that's for certain. Because they have run through everybody. They're trying to garner heat up and with these two for what? For no reason, just to have the titles. I mean, I think that DJ put it best was they should have gave the titles to a team in NXT, let some team in the NXT run with it for a little bit. That way it would have given the teams inside of the main shows, what there are of them, to have a little bit of a break, because right now it's way too just it's not populated enough for them to be this overbooked. So I think that's the problem, is that the whole tag team division is being overbooked because they're trying to – it's like they're trying to stuff a sock down their pants, trying to cover up for something.
Yeah. All right. So –
yeah, they should have never – NXT should have never came out with women's tag titles. They should have never done that. They already had women's tag titles, like I said before, and they were using them not only for Raw and SmackDown, but also – for
NXT.
You know, Charlotte and Asuka, when they were tag team champions, they defended them over there. So has Shayna and Rhea. They've done the same thing. So I don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense. So.
I don't know. It's about all clusterfuck. Speaking of clusterfucks, that transition to the next match, Big E versus Apollo Crews for the IC title. Big E almost squashing Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews getting his ass kicked, and then Apollo Crews took a little advantage. But then came the fuck finish, which was a botched roll-up, I don't know, a roll-up pin? What the fuck, what kind of pin was this? I couldn't tell. It was obviously a botch. Even the announcers didn't know who the fuck won this match, so they declared Big E to be the winner. So that means Big E retained against Apollo Crews. This was fucking stupid. I was really looking forward to this fucking match, and because of that botch finish, it ruins it. So, Arcane, what's your opinion about this clusterfuck of an ending?
I kind of knew that they were going to go with this I guess, heel work with Apollo Crews even more, as they allowed him to beat Big E after the match, and cause him to lay there after the match. So they're going to continue on with this feud, unfortunately, just like WWE likes to do. They like to continue on feuds way past the pay-per-view. And I could see if the match, maybe, you know, once or twice having a match that continues on past the pay-per-view. But WWE likes to do this so much that it's really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And I wish that, you know, I'm happy that these two actually fought during a pay-per-view and for a title match. This was good. But they've had the same on SmackDown before. So I think that if they have another, some more people coming in and having a title match with Big E, but allowing Apollo Crews to just kind of watch from afar and to maybe just kind of be a thorn in Big E's side, it might be okay. I think that we just need to get away from it after the next match, though. Don't hold on to this feud for too long.
Yeah. What about the botch finish? How do you feel about that?
The botch finish was a botch finish. You can't, sometimes those aren't to be helped. But tonight looked very bad on TV. It did not look good at all. It was just so Big E went for a roll up, then Apollo Crews countered, and it looked like in Apollo Crews counter, Big E countered again, and somehow got a submission into a pin. So that's where we are. It kind of looks sloppy on TV. So I don't know what they were going for tonight, but again, it wasn't the best circumstance that they could have had.
All right, now we go to DJ from FLA. What's your opinion about the match, and how do you feel about the botch finish, DJ?
So I like the fact that these two are feuding. You know, Apollo decided to go back to his roots. Now he's picked up this accent that he used to never have. I thought that was kind of hilarious that they have him do that now. But, I mean, it's nor here nor there. As far as the finish goes, I didn't even know. I was like, what the heck was that all about? I mean, it was just so screwy that it did look like it was a legit botch. Just the way that the whole thing unfolded. like, unfortunately, somebody screwed up somewhere. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out in the next day or two. It'll come up somewhere on some wrestling website or some video on YouTube or something that some one wrestling channel will talk about. But, I don't, you know how I feel, and I've said this on other talk shows, whatever, I've mentioned this before, I hate the roll-up pins. You guys know I hate that. And that's, oh, if they go to that crap every time, and I hate the roll-up pin. Especially now after what we saw tonight, it was just ridiculous. And I hope there's an explanation. And they don't sweep this under the rug. But, yeah, like Arcane said, they're going to – obviously the way this thing came out and finished, this feud is not over yet. So, and hopefully they don't drag it out too long to where it gets stale and we all get uninterested, because it will happen fast.
It'll probably last until Backlash, I would think. Because
it might last up until WrestleMania. Cause it should last up until WrestleMania if they want to have a repeat match. Fine. You want to have a repeat match, you know, because they got to have matches for this two-day fest, you know, coming up next month. So they've got to fill this card up. So I can almost see them having another match. And it should culminate there. You know what I'm saying? Because WrestleMania is supposed to be their biggest pay-per-view where either feuds end or new feuds get started. That's the way with WrestleMania, that's shit how it works. So this feud here, I would hope, would culminate at WrestleMania, and then something new comes around. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, but if the case were Apollo wins the IC title, you would think Big E would ask for a rematch in this feud.
If that would be the only reason why this feud would keep going, is if Apollo were to beat him and win the title at WrestleMania. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So that, yeah. So the next thing we have to talk about is before the next match, Shane McMahon injures himself, you know, quote-unquote injures himself when he's training in the pre-show, and his match against Braun Strowman at Slow Lane. Shane tears his quad or something. I don't know what the injury was.
That is clearly just an angle, because they had already mentioned before we saw this earlier this evening that they were pulling their match from Fastlane. So they had to come up with something to let us know why. Obviously, it's for angle purposes. It's a kayfabe injury, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And it's kind of retarded, because we know that it is kayfabe, because they pulled the match, and they want this match, from what I've read, to be at WrestleMania instead of Fastlane. So, that will give Shane time to heal up from an injury that's not even really an injury, and be ready to have his match with Strowman at WrestleMania. So it's just this thing shouldn't even be – this match shouldn't even be taking place. This whole thing is dumb. Using the word stupid, I think, it's just the dumbest thing ever. It's childish. It's childlike stuff that they're doing right now. And these are two grown adults calling each other stupid and saying, oh, you suck. I mean, come on.
And
come up with something else a little more creative. Seriously, this is an embarrassment as far as I'm concerned. I'm embarrassed as a wrestling fan to have to sit there and witness
And it's worse in Shane's case, because he's older than Braun Strowman, so it's way worse for him.
Any way you look at it, they're both grown-ass adults, and they shouldn't be talking like that. It's child. That's kids do that in elementary school and middle school. That's kid stuff. Come on, man.
Yeah. So up next we have a card subject to change. We have Elias versus Braun Strowman, and this was absolutely fucking terrible. Braun Strowman buries Elias. Elias is so fucking buried. His career is basically over at this point. Like,
well, Arcane called it earlier.
Yeah, he
Arcane
did call
called
it earlier
and said that. He said Elias is probably going to take over in this match at Fastlane. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Elias
Again,
was asking.
Waste of time.
Elias was asking to do something to get onto WrestleMania. He was talking to Shane, and he wanted. While Shane was limping on his leg, Shane was being asked, "What can I do? What can I do to get on WrestleMania? I can do anything. I'll do anything." And so Shane brought Elias out on stage, was having him sing a song, and Shane interrupted him and basically said, "Hey, Elias, I hate to kind of jump this on you, but you're going to take over for me." So that's whenever the match started. The backstage segment was very, made it very obvious that they were setting it up for that, I thought. But, you know, this is all to get Braun Strowman over again. They need to make him, because they've made him look like a dummy. They've made him look like a schmuck, kind of coining the term from Mr. Internet Sensation Christian.
Yeah.
I think that if we had, they want to build Braun Strowman as a beast again, and I think they're going to have to try to do that somehow by him rolling over some of these mid-card acts. And unfortunately, I think they've already, like, Strowman's ship has sailed, dude. I mean, he is now stuck in this. He's stuck in
mid-card.
Nobody gives a shit about you anymore. So that's the problem. And WWE did it to him. And I'm actually not happy with the way they treated him, because he should have had a championship long before last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, they literally covered him in fucking Kids' Choice Awards slime, this big, bold motherfucker.
Exactly. Yep.
But burying the fucking bald fucker. Awful. And you know who else I feel bad of all? I feel bad for a fucking Elias, man. Like, Elias was super fucking over. Like, this guy had walked with Elias chance, and now he's fucking terrible. They've fucking ruined him.
They wanted him to be a face. They were like, he's going to get over as a face, but yet he stopped doing his little shtick as a face. He stopped being funny as a face. So that's why him being a heel, the way he's now, they've already ruined him. So even before last year's WrestleMania, this guy's ruined. So that's unfortunate, but I mean, it's been a year past that, so, you know, what can you do?
And then there's Jackson Ryker, who fucking sucks, you know? He
hasn't done shit since he came back, really.
I agree. He's worthless.
He's worthless as an
on-air personality, you know? Unfortunately, the politics kind of screwed him over, and they screw a lot of people over too. Just let that be a lesson to everybody. You shouldn't talk top politics on social media.
Yeah.
But you should talk to politics on, was it Wednesday nights you guys talk politics?
No, we talk on that Friday nights, full toe boogie.
Friday nights. Oh, sorry about that. I'm new here, so.
That's fine. Yeah, full tilt boogie, by the way. Anyway, we go on to a backstage segment with Matt Riddle and Shinsuke Nakamura. Matt Riddle is a fucking clown. I can't stand the guy. Ruining all the hard work that fucking Bobby Lashley did to put that fucking U.S. title over, and really ruining it, in my opinion. Fucking riding a fucking scooter. He talks to Shinsuke Nakamura.
I want to interrupt you, because I think that's really, this is all Vince McMahon's writing that's stupid. So this whole thing that he's doing right now, he's getting out of the bro and getting more into this talking long story, you know, carrying on and doing all of this scooter thing. This is all Vince McMahon. Because Vince McMahon didn't understand the bro thing. Everybody else did, but Vince didn't. So this is another catastrophe that Vince has created.
Yeah. Fuck Vince. Fuck Bruce Pritchard. Fucking worst booker ever. Fuck him. Fuck Bruce Pritchard. Fuck him, that clown. So anyway. So anyway, what do you feel about Matt Riddle, DJ, the fucking schmuck, and Vince McMahon's writing?
Okay, the guy, other than the fact that he talks like he's some kind of a pothead, you know, and then he you know, and I'm sure this is just his gimmick, you know, he just looks like he's this guy that's clueless. The man is absolutely talented. I'm not taking anything away from his wrestling ability. He has the talent.
Well, no, he's a great wrestler. He's a great wrestler.
He is.
His character.
I just think he needs a new gimmick. I'm kind of getting over this, you know. I mean, Arcane said he's getting away from the bro thing, but he's still saying it. I mean, he's still doing it. I just think the man just needs a little different gimmick. You know what I'm saying? His wrestling ability is there. He's got it. And then, you know, work on his promo skills, you know, so that he's, you know, a little bit better on the mic. And he's, you know, again, so he doesn't sound like he's clueless. Other than that, I don't have a problem with the guy. You know, yeah, he got into some trouble a while back, whatever, with some people. But, you know, he's past it. A majority of people are past it. And,
yeah.
You know, he goes in the ring and he does his business. I mean, I just think he needs a gimmick change and just a little work on his promo skills on the mic, and I think he'll be like the total package, man. I think if he wanted.
I just think he should be doing an MMA gimmick because he's a real MMA guy.
Well, I mean, maybe. He just needs something other than what he's doing now. I mean, this thing is, you're doing this all through your NXT time. You did it, you know. You've been doing it now since you came to the main roster. It's time for everybody needs to change after a while because you do stuff. There's only very few superstars that can do a gimmick and actually keep that gimmick and not have it end up being stale and people getting tired of it because you're just that good and you're able to keep it fresh. Not everybody's able to do that. You know, especially if you start with a gimmick that's really not that good to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's time, and I hope that it happens. You know, sometime in the future for him, that he, you know, changes up a little bit and gets a little more serious. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Get a little more serious.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah. So up next, it's Shinsuke Nakamura against, you know, the jackass of the wrestling world. The guy who I absolutely hate in real life, Seth Rollins. The guy's a fucking dickhead. The guy's a prick in real life. I know it. So, again, Seth Rollins, this guy hasn't wrestled since he came back to the Royal Rumble. So this is his first legit match coming back since the Royal Rumble. And it was a decent match between him and Nakamura. It was okay. I wouldn't write home about it. I think their match at Survivor Series years ago was much better, in my opinion. But it was still a decent match. Now the problem here is fucking Seth Rollins' fucking character. It's the same fucking character. I can't fucking stand this fucking character. I mean, what the fuck has he been doing? Saying the same shit every week. He's basically Sami Zayn's fucking clone at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn team up and be a tag team together. They could be the Conspiracy Brothers, because I would not be surprised if they fucking do it, because they're basically the same fucking character. They're saying that the whole world's out to fucking get them, nobody respects them, and, you know, they hate everybody. So, yeah. He's a Sami Zayn wannabe clone of the gimmick, Conspiracy, because he wants to embrace the vision.
You brought up a good point, dear Christian.
Go ahead,
Arkane. You brought up a good point because, you know, I think whoever had the better character was Nakamura last Friday on SmackDown. He actually had a lot better of a character, this fierceness about him. And unfortunately, they used him as a stepping stone for Rollins to get to Cesaro. And I think that, you know, this is a one-time match deal that, you know, had a one episode of SmackDown buildup. And so that's why it really, you know, it really kind of shocked me to how good that they did. But in all essence, these two are phenomenal. I mean, they're phenomenal wrestlers. It's just their characters we're not so happy with. And I think that I just hope that, you know, we know Cesaro can go, and we know that Seth Rollins can go. Their match is going to be good. I think it's just that, as you said, Seth Rollins' character, he doesn't need to be his character. He needs to be some other character. It doesn't really matter. Whatever he's doing doesn't match him. Even he himself said he doesn't like doing it, but he's doing it because it's for the business. So I think that, as you said before, let's try to do something else. Something else that's a little bit more original.
Yeah, because you're a Sami Zayn clone. Sami Zayn has the same character.
Yeah,
go ahead, DJ.
We talked about this a while back as far as Seth Rollins goes and his character, especially the first character that he did. And I told you guys that, you know, he had did an interview on a podcast where he talked about his gimmick, the first one that he was doing as the Messiah. And he hated it. He hated it. He was not happy with it. But like Arcane just alluded to, you know, it's for the business. And, you know, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to have to do, unfortunately, that being one of them. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least if this character that he's doing presently now, that he probably dislikes as well. You know, I think Seth is one of those guys that probably has a lot of ideas that, you know, he would like to go with as far as his, you know, his gimmick and character, you know, stuff like that. And Vince just won't go for it because, you know, Vince is a jerk off and, you know, he doesn't like to hear other people's ideas. That if it's not his idea, it's not good enough. So.
It's weird.
This man is,
It's weird because he's like one of the suck ups in the company too.
If you think about it, he used to be one of the top guys in the WWE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He used to always be in the title picture, right? Right or wrong?
Yeah.
He was always in the title. He was one of the big guys. Now look at him. He's almost like a mid-carder now. Because now he's fighting. I'm not taking anything away from Shinsuke. But I mean, Shinsuke himself, and not of no fault of his own, hasn't really been doing anything. Except even when he had a title, when he had the Intercontinental title, he wasn't doing anything with it. He's always a mid-carder.
Still didn't
do anything though with him. Remained a mid-carder. We all know Shinsuke's better than that. You guys see, I don't watch NXT, but you guys watched NXT. You saw what how he was in NXT and how special he was.
The only thing I know was Sami Zayn and TakeOver. That's about it.
But his gimmick was special over there. They made it special.
Yeah.
You know, where he didn't show up all the time. So when you do see him, you get real excited because you're like, oh, he's here, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? And then you go to the main roster and they ruin it, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is what's happening to Seth now. Seth used to be that big, you know, one of the big guys on the main roster, always in the title picture, always talked about, you know, having great matches and stuff like that, you know. And he just, ever since he's been back after, you know, being away, you know, having the baby with Becky, he really hasn't, I mean, he hasn't really done much. Okay, so he had this feud thing with the Mysterios and stuff and Buddy Murphy and all that good stuff. But it wasn't that good, in my opinion. I don't think that was good because he hated it, so he didn't really put much into it. But as far as this match that he had tonight with Shinsuke, it was a good match. But I told you guys earlier the reason why they put this match, and I read about this earlier as well, that the reason why they did this match was to get things started with Cesaro. Now, when they said that, because, you know, Cesaro and Seth are supposed to be feuding, I was expecting Cesaro to come out to get things going, to get the ball rolling with their feud, and he didn't. So that kind of surprised me tonight, you know, especially when they said that this whole idea of having this match with Nakamura was to get things started. With Cesaro, but how did they get things started? He didn't even show up. So this was just another match, as far as I'm concerned, that they just put in there because they needed some matches and time to fill.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. I'm not taking anything away from it. It was fine. But it didn't really – for what, though? What was the meaning behind it? It had a meaning, but nothing really went with – nothing happened with that meaning. Yeah. So.
I would not be surprised if he faces Shinsuke again on Friday again, SmackDown.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Though there's one noteworthy thing in that match. Seth Rollins did a terrible curb stomp. That curb stomp was fucking awful tonight. Fucking, it didn't even land right. It, like, fucking split. He literally split his legs. Like, he was, like, up in the air, and then he tried to hit it, but it was awful. That curb stomp was terrible.
Yeah, you just never know, man. When stuff is live, man, you never know what's going to happen, man. And unfortunately,
schmuck.
That move for him didn't work out, so.
Schmuck. Next we have the best match of the whole show. The best match. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. This was the best match of the entire show. So they destroyed each other. They beat the crap out of it. Beat the piss out of each other. Literally blood was coming out of their piss. That's how bad it was. They beat the shit out of each other.
And the thing about it is they already did it once already.
Yeah.
On a random Monday Night Raw.
Twice. This is the fourth time.
And they literally beat the crap out of each other to the point where it was a no contest.
Yeah, which, you know.
So we're basically getting part two of it. That's what we got, was part two of it tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking anything away from the match. They were all over the place. They were killing each other.
Yeah.
And
But two things about this match that really upsets me. Well, not actually two things, just one thing. But there was another noteworthy thing that happened in this match. One thing that upsets me was that this match was fucking pointless. Because guess what?
Well, my question is, though, Christian, my question is, okay, so they had this match. It was a great match. They killed each other, like we just said. Where is it going to go? Is it going to go anywhere?
Nowhere.
Is it going to go anywhere else?
It's over.
Or is this,
no, the feud's
this
over.
Is done. So
this
they
is
killed
done.
Each other and lacerated each other. For nothing.
Yeah, this is what I'm telling you. This match was pointless. This wasn't a number one contenders match because Drew
as
already has the
was,
fucking power.
I have to.
So this was pointless.
As good
this
as it
match
was,
was
I
a
have
waste
to agree.
It was a great match, but guess what? It was also a waste of time because Drew already has his title shot. Sheamus has nothing. We don't even know what Sheamus is going
to
do.
And they already beat each other to a pulp. And they've already beat each other to a pulp once already.
Pointless. Pointless, so. pointless. Arcane, what are your thoughts on this? Even though this was a great match, wouldn't you agree that this was fucking pointless?
Yeah, because they had already announced the match for WrestleMania, and I was like, well, what is Drew actually earning for that match if there's no automatic rematches for the match at WrestleMania? I would thought, they would have shown that he won this match in a brutal fashion, this brutal match, and overtook Sheamus, made his case, and then said, hey, I'm coming for that championship. The way it should have done, I would have understood that. But no, they try to just cram it down, everybody's throats that he's getting put into it. And that it made this match really, I didn't even really want to watch it until, whenever I was watching it, I was like, hey, this isn't even half bad. I mean, this is a really good match. So, and I was thinking about it, too. I personally think that Drew is a boring wrestler.
Oh.
All right, I know some people don't believe that. I disagree, but we can agree to disagree with some people. The thing is... This type of match allows him to be interesting because it adds that whole chaos factor into the whole scheme of things. And I believe that if, Drew kind of has found his calling with a hardcore match or an extreme rules match, it's really was something to take hold and to do because, I mean, he... They really did beat the shit out of each other, and I applaud them both for it. So, again,
yeah.
unfortunate storyline-wise, but great match. So it should be watched again if you have a chance.
Yes. DJ, what do you thought about this?
Right. I talked about this match already, and it was great. It was something we've already seen, like I already mentioned it. We've seen this match already on a random Monday Night Raw. So we got a second part to it, and once again, they went at it, beat each other up, and it was great. Did we need to see it again? Probably not. Other than that, I want to say this, though. One thing I did not mention, none of us mentioned it. This is the first time that I believe that I had ever seen McIntyre with face paint on.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know they're trying to be different. I get it. But I don't know. I'm not sold on the idea of them having face paint on.
No, this was just this match because they were both in Scottish Ireland something. So this was just this match.
So I mean, if it's a one deal, thing, fine. But I just hope
he's
it's
probably,
not something that they're going to keep doing because he doesn't really have face
paint on. He's probably going to do it at WrestleMania anyway, though.
All right, if you're going to do it on special events, fine. But just not make this a constant thing that happens. It doesn't need to happen all the time.
Yeah, we don't want to see Braveheart for fucking every week. No, thank you. So now the one thing that troubles me, right, there's one thing that makes me nervous, right? Towards the end of the match, Drew beats Sheamus, but there was one thing that I was, like, paying attention, right? When Drew was walking towards the rope, top rope, he fucking goes down, and his back is fucking hurting him, right? So he goes up again. He does his, like, posting, but immediately, and if this is acting on his part, he's great. But if it's not, because he immediately goes down, and he sits down, and he's fucking hurt. He doesn't get back at all up, and the camera goes away. So I don't know if he's legit fucking hurt or if this is good selling, because the way I saw his face, he looked like he was in legit fucking pain, and he couldn't get up.
He might have been.
I think he was having back spasms.
Yeah, because he went fucking right back down.
Yeah,
I think
he was having back spasms, and he'll get that taken care of. These wrestlers, especially going after a match like that, you would kind of assume that he would have gotten hurt some sort of way. So both of these guys are warriors, man, and going through that match. So
yeah. All right, now we go to the second controversial thing in the pay-per-view. The intergender match between Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss. Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss has been playing mind games with each other, again. Randy Orton coughed out blood again.
More so Alexa Bliss than Randy Orton, but yeah.
Mostly, yeah. So Randy coughs blood again. Then Alexa Bliss comes out, all right? So the match starts. And Alexa Bliss is going around. Well, first she lit the ring on fire. Like four fires came out of nowhere and almost got Randy. And the referee disappeared up to this point, right? The ref disappeared throughout the entire match, if you even call it. But so Randy and Alexa were like walking around the ring, and Alexa drops lighting on the ceiling that almost hits Randy. So Randy's like, you fucking little bitch. You trying to kill me or something? So Alexa, again, is going around the ring, and then they go back in the ring. So what happens is Alexa, again, throws another fireball. And Randy dodged it in time almost, but he almost got hit with it. So everything's going, bizarre until a hand opens up the ring and peeks out and grabs Orton's feet. And lo and behold, it's the pizza monster from Spaceballs. Bray Wyatt, the fiend, returns. Fucking burned to a fucking crisp, and his costume looks fucking terrible. Awful. DJ loves it, but I don't.
Your opinion.
It's fucking terrible. It's horrible. He looks like Jeepers fucking Creepers. So Alexa pushes Randy to Bray. Bray hits the Sister Abigail. And then Alexa covers Randy Orton, and Alexa beats Randy. But here's my question before we get to Bray Wyatt. Was this a no disqualification match? Because I'm pretty
right.
sure intergender matches aren't no DQ. So how the fuck did Randy not win by DQ? Why wasn't Alexa Bliss DQ'd?
Right. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing, Christian. You're right.
So that's fucked. So that's ruined. That's fucked. That shouldn't make no sense. That's stupid. Alexa clearly lost. In fact, she lost the moment she hit him with a fucking fireball to the face. So that's a DQ. So that's stupid, too. And, you know, trying to brutally murder him. But that's besides the point. So already, that's fucking stupid. Secondly, the costume itself. What the fuck is this shit? This doesn't even look closely at what he fucking wore when he was burnt to alive. I don't remember him wearing a fucking vest that almost looks like the fucking burnt remains of Dean Ambrose's fucking shield gear. Like, that's fucking Dean Ambrose's burnt gear. And I can fucking tell.
What?
Isn't it?
You know, well, do you not remember what happened whenever
Dean
Ambrose left?
I know what happened.
He put it in
a
trash can and burned it. Yes, it's
yeah.
probably what it is.
Yeah, it is. It probably is. It's probably the Dean Ambrose's fucking shield vest. This fucking costume fucking sucks. I'm sorry. It's fucking stupid. I'm sorry. Like, how's Bray Wyatt going to explain this? Like, if Bray shows up in Firefly Funhouse.
Here's what I, as with, I'm going to talk about AEW real quick. And this,
yeah,
this will kind of this will get pieced together. So when Paul White said that I have one of the biggest, you know, wrestlers, the Hall of Fame worthy wrestler to show up at Revolution, it got the crowd talking, right? It got them talking about who it could be, and. I mean, the person that did show up, which was
Christian Cage,
right? He really wasn't mentioned all that much. The two of the biggest names that were mentioned were Brock Lesnar and CM Punk.
Yeah.
If you read on Twitter, you have the Fiend saying, talking stuff about being reborn, being in a cocoon, being reborn, repackaged.
Yeah.
He ain't friggin' repackaged. He's burnt.
It's stupid.
He's Friday the 13th Jason Voorhees part 9.
He's
part
he's
7
Chucky.
Through 9.
He's Chucky when he got burned in the first movie.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I think that, you know, I get what they're trying to do. But he ruined it with his Twitter post of saying he's going to be new. And he wasn't new. He's just a dude that was burnt and come back alive. It's like, it didn't really bring out, oh, that's so awesome out of me. It was just a letdown. It was a letdown for
me. Everybody's making fun of it on Twitter already. They're comparing him to a fucking onion that got burnt in a fucking frying pan. They're making him look like the fucking pizza monster from Spaceballs. Everybody's making fun of this shit. This isn't fucking badass. This isn't cool. It's fucking stupid. We waited months for this shit?
WWE isn't the greatest of special effects as per the for an eye match of that we got with Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio. So I'm just saying.
This sucks.
And by the way, kind of interrupting this, breaking news, WWE, from WWE's Twitter account, they have released Andrade.
Okay, who cares?
Well,
good.
What if he shows up on AEW? I'm just saying.
Well, that's good. That's good. He'll show up with a mask next time because he's getting to his old Lucha Libre gimmick, so... Yeah. So DJ,
maybe you can join the Death Triangle.
Yeah. So DJ.
That would be awesome.
So DJ,
yes, sir.
How about the fact that the match should have ended in a DQ? And why do you defend how terribly awful this costume is?
All right, so as far as the way the match ended, I see your point on that. And it's obvious that they did this match in a way that they didn't think anybody, because I told you guys this before, us fans, especially those of us that have been watching wrestling for a very long time. Me and Arcane have been watching wrestling a lot longer than you. But I know you've been watching it for a few years yourself. But they tend to forget that there are those fans out there like us who've been watching this for many, many years, and we catch on to things that they don't really think we're going to catch on to. Like you said, there should have been a DQ, and there wasn't, and they're thinking that we're not going to catch that, and we're just going to brush it off because the Fiend's coming back, and there was going to be more focused on the Fiend coming back, and they're going to forget about what happened in the match. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll be honest with you, that's what happened with me. So Alexa got the win. She got the pin when it should have been a DQ, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time because I had a feeling and I knew that the Fiend was coming back, and that's what I was waiting on. I wasn't thinking about this being a no DQ match or the Falls Count Anywhere, whatever the case may be. I wasn't even thinking about that. And so with that being said, that's what they were trying to do with this match, try to get people not think about it. They succeeded with me. Obviously, you caught on to it. Arcane caught on to it. But I was just excited to see the Fiend back. The thing I don't have a problem with how the Fiend looked tonight is it made sense in because he was burnt. He was set on fire. So to come back with the burnt look, I had no problem with. Could it have been maybe a little bit better? Maybe. But the fact that it made sense, because a lot of times they do things that don't make sense. Like with Randy Orton, I mentioned this earlier before we came on here and started doing this live.
But DJ, he went on Twitter.
Hold on, Christian, wait. When Randy Orton got his face burned by Alexa Bliss, when he took that fireball in the face, right? The next week we saw him. He had a mask on, right? But then when he shouldn't even had a mask on because that would have hurt on a burnt face. But he should have not even had that on. That was one stupid thing they did. The other thing is when he took it off, you see all the burnt marks on his face, right? He was all burnt up. How many people do you know, Christian, that have gotten burns on them like that, and then you see them 1 week later, and they're all healed up in 1 week? Is that realistically possible?
No.
No.
It's not realistic.
So why is it when we see Randy Orton a week later, he has no burns? You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. Now, that would piss me off because that doesn't make any sense. At least they kept it where he looked like he was burnt up because he was burnt up, kayfabe. And that's the thing I don't have a problem with because at least it made sense. It may not have been the best, but at least it made sense.
And that's what I'm getting at.
That's why I don't have a problem. And I am just glad to see the Fiend back, period. Because you know I'm a big Fiend fan. Don't compare me to Ed. But I am a big I just said his name, didn't I? But I'm a
don't worry, nobody knows who he is, so don't worry.
Oh,
anyway.
Good. Excellent.
Arcane brings up a great point though. He himself has been going on Twitter saying that he's gonna be rebirth and that he was gonna look new and that he was gonna be a new gimmick.
And Arcane is right for saying that that's his fault for doing that and not actually coming back as something totally different. But the thing is, if he came back something totally different and he was supposedly burned, would that have even made any sense? Though, think about it. The guy was burned, but he's going to come back as something. I mean, come on.
He should have came back.
You got to be realistic about things, man. And WWE has a habit of not being realistic about certain things. Anything you just do something 1 week and change it up the week after, and no one's going to notice. And sweep it under the rug, you know? Because we're idiots. We're assholes to them.
Okay, so then what's going to happen in Firefight Funhouse now? How's Bray Wyatt going to show up without any burden?
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see, aren't we? I don't know. I'm upset about this because I'm going to miss it tomorrow. Because you know he's going to be on tomorrow. And you know he's going to have something to say. And I'm very curious as to what he's going to have to say. And I'm not going to be able to see that. But I'm sure, you know, if anybody's on Discord tomorrow night when I get home, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to tell me what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. I just feel bad for Randy Orton. He looks like a schmuck. I'm sorry. Like nothing. Like he's looked like the biggest fucking fool in this entire feud. I'm sorry. The way
look,
they
the
book
man's
Randy,
paid. The man's getting
it,
paid. He probably doesn't even care. To be honest with you, he's just playing. He's just playing the role that he's supposed to play. He's getting paid. He's not going to be around much longer, dude. So he's just probably having fun with whatever, no matter how it's making him look. Dude's been around. He's done so many things. He's held so many titles. There really isn't much more he needs to do to prove to us how good of a wrestler he is. Who cares if he's looking like a schmuck right now? He's done it all. Dude. He's been in it for a lot longer than the majority of people that are in there now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have nothing to prove to me. I don't care what they do with him at this point. He should be enhancement talent. That's what he should be. He's getting everybody else over because his time's going to be gone pretty soon. Then he's going to be out of there. I don't have a problem with what they're doing with him right now. It's fine.
Yeah. All right, so now we go. Now before we go to the main event, we have a lot of things to discuss. We have a few things to discuss. One, the champion, the WWE champion, Bobby Lashley, did not show up at this pay-per-view at all. Now, gentlemen, does this make you think that Bobby Lashley is a third wheel or, like, an irrelevant champion?
No.
Arkham,
no.
You go first.
They just didn't have anything for him, I guess. I mean, yeah, he's the you know, the Raw heavyweight champion. You think they would have had something, but they figured, you know, you can – it's fast lane. You can skip this pay-per-view. You know, Roman Reigns is on it already. That's the thing. You know, maybe they didn't want to have them both on this small pay-per-view that wasn't going to be, you know. They, you know, like this, that WrestleMania coming up is going to be a two-part. One of them is going to be gone one day. The other one is going to be gone the other day. They're not going to be on the same show.
Yeah.
So.
What about you, Arkane?
I would have liked to have seen him in something, but because I'm a big fan of the Hurt Business, but you know, right now is kind of they want to feature. I think you're not seeing is that they wanted really to feature what's his name. Roman. They wanted to feature Roman.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to feature him as the main guy tonight. Because if you look on Raw, they are saying it's supposed to be the Almighty era, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how can it be the Almighty era if you have this guy that's probably a bigger draw than him, which is Roman? So I think that really it was really Roman's night that they really wanted to kind of make that happen. And so, why not? I think that it's okay. It's kind of going back to what DJ said. You don't have to have your champion on every time.
Yeah.
You don't. So I think that is just something that we were accustomed to with the latest, you know, WWE era of television, and actually it's not that. I don't like the practice. It's not a good practice to have.
All right. So do you feel the same way with Asuka? Because it's been months, you know, forever since she showed up in a fucking pay-per-view. She's the Raw Women's Champion. She hasn't showed up in any fucking pay-per-views at all. What are your thoughts about
that?
She was hurt.
So I think Asuka has gotten kind of a rough draw right now because she got hurt by Shayna. She comes back, beats Shayna, and then, you know, she doesn't have the opportunity to have any type of program with anyone for this pay-per-view. I think that they're trying to find somebody, because they were actually thinking about going with Charlotte. That's probably off the table now with the news that we just I alluded to earlier, which about Andrade. So, you know, Charlotte may be taking the stand saying, you know, I'm out of WrestleMania, and that's why they've removed her from all of the promotional material. So, Asuka, they have to find somebody from Asuka, and well, they're going to have to find her within the next couple, you know, the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I know just the person, and DJ knows who I'm talking about, Rhea fucking Ripley.
And that's probably why she's making her debut tomorrow. Again, something else I'm going to miss, because you know how I feel about Rhea Ripley. I love me some Rhea Ripley. And, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to have her fight Asuka at WrestleMania. They're going to start feuding probably tomorrow. That would be the best way to do it, get it started tomorrow. So.
Yeah. They have three
yeah.
weeks to do.
Yeah, so the earlier the better.
So another thing to talk about is Keith Lee. Where the fuck is he? Yeah, that rhymes. I know I rhymed it. That's why I'm the best. Anyway, Keith Lee is gone. Like, he disappeared, and he went on Twitter saying, I know it's rough. He even changed his Twitter handle to the impatient one. The impatient Lee. So, I don't know if
yeah,
that's
because
like...
He's missed. This year, he's missed the Royal Rumble. He missed the Elimination Chamber. Now he missed Fastlane, and he's most likely going to miss WrestleMania. That's four pay-per-views right there, four big paydays.
He actually missed TLC too. That's five.
Well, I'm talking about this year.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. He's been the biggest burial of NXT in a while. He fucking loses to Ronda Rousey in bullshit fashion. He gets his ass kicked, and then he gets kayfabe injured, and then he gets back to the fucking performance center. Let's be honest, Keith Lee's fucking buried. Vince doesn't like the guy. In fact, he gave up on him already. So that's the quickest way to give up on somebody, and that sucks.
I still haven't even been able to come up or find online anywhere where it states a legit reason why, you know, if it's true, why Vince doesn't care for this guy anymore. I don't understand the dude was, he had it going on in NXT. You know, and this is, I told you, man, you all know this, man. This is what happens, man, with a lot of the NXT wrestlers, man. When they come to the main roster, man, you get hosed, man, and you get shafted. And it's not right. And I think if anything, if Vince doesn't like him, doesn't want to do nothing with him on the main roster, send him back to NXT. At least he can do something there. You know, he was successful there, send him back there. But the thing is with that is now that Vince got his hands wet in NXT now, and you guys can see the result of that, because, you know, I don't watch it, but from what you guys have been saying, it's been really crappy.
It is crappy.
Ever since he put his little greasy hands into NXT.
We have another injury in NXT. Another person got injured in NXT. How many injuries have that been this past week?
Separated shoulder. Separated shoulder.
It's a fucking safety hazard in NXT. People are coming down with a sickness. People are getting fucking injured. People are getting fucking buried. It's a fucking madhouse over there in NXT. It's a fucking nightmare.
Oh, it isn't any better than the main roster, I'll say that.
That's true. But it's still a fucking madhouse.
WWE is a madhouse as a whole. So they got a lot of problems. A lot of their main guys are gone and gone to AEW. You know, Big Show, Christian, Moxley.
Yeah.
I mean, Miro, a.k.a. you know,
Rusev,
Cody, Jericho. I mean, everybody's just And I don't blame them. I don't blame them for wanting to leave. You're not going to use them. You're not going to utilize them. Dude, let them go. They could be useful somewhere else. You know, someone else could, you know, use their talent, you know, instead of them just sitting around and catering, not doing nothing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, RK, what do you so the next thing we got to talk about, and one more thing after that, and then we talk about the main event. Charlie Caruso getting fired soon because she skipped interview days. She was late in interviews for Randy Orton and Sheamus, and, you know, Charlie Caruso's leaving.
Yeah, she has garnered a lot of heat, apparently, from several people because of that matter of, yeah, like you said, being late to interviews that she's supposed to do, especially the ones that she's supposed to do that are supposed to be on Raw, you know, that Raw that evening, I guess, what they were saying. So, yeah, she is, yeah, I think she's pretty much done. I think I read somewhere she's been pulled from several things now. So I think, yeah, I think her days in WWE are pretty much done at this point. I mean, which is fine because she's got stuff going on ESPN. You know what I'm saying? So she'll be fine. She's not going to be hurting or anything like that. And then, of course, there's always the possibility of her jumping ship like a lot of people did and going to AEW. I read something here earlier that said that she knows who Tony Khan is, or she knows Tony Khan. So apparently she and Tony Khan have talked before, so they know each other. But they also mentioned that when they do, if they, you know, give her an early release or wait her contract out, which is probably what they'll do, you know, she may have a 90-day non-compete clause as well in her contract. So even when she is gone, she's still going to have to wait 90 days before she could do anything with any other company. So, but yeah, it's pretty sad, man. I liked her, man. I thought she did a fantastic job every time we saw her, no matter where it was, whether it was on Raw or SmackDown or pay-per-views, it didn't matter. You know, she always did a fantastic job. She's a very attractive young lady, and it's just too bad that, you know, maybe she has her reasons for, you know, for being like, who knows? Maybe she's got too much on her plate, and she's just trying to do too much. I don't know, but it's too bad. But hey, you know, she'll be all right.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it, Arcane?
I don't know what her circumstances was of why she was late, but, I mean, yeah, if you piss off the boss, it's not going to be good for your career. So that's that.
Yeah. So the last thing to talk about before we go to the main event is WWE is that the Peacock for Fastlane had issues today. According to 411 Mania, WWE has issued a statement regarding fans' issue with Peacock stream for tonight's WWE Fastlane. There were people taking issue with the fact that the service did not have the ability to rewind or pause during the show, as well as being unable to start from the beginning if they tuned late. So, yeah, a lot of people were not happy with that.
Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me they weren't prepared for the high traffic that they were going to be getting on there. And you watched it on the network anyway, right? So
I wasn't going to watch it on
I don't know why everybody was racing over to the Peacock to watch it over there. You could have watched it on the actual WWE network, you know, before everything actually got switched over. But
yeah,
I bet you they had a lot of people signing up, a lot of traffic, and they just weren't prepared for it. That's what it sounded like to me. They dropped the ball on that as far as, you know, being the first, supposed to be the first pay-per-view that you could watch on their streaming service, and I just think they weren't prepared for it. They weren't ready.
Oh, dude.
So shame on them.
Shame on them. What's your thoughts on it, Arcane, before I say something that I just realized? Go ahead, Arcane.
Yeah, so this really was an oversight by WWE. They knew they had this available on the network, and they have let some things slip through their fingers that which they shouldn't have. But we all have that problem where, you know, try to think of everything and double check everything, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. This time we get it, you know, WWE got it wrong, and they've been getting things wrong a lot of the time though, and that's the problem. That's what makes it sting that much worse. It's because WWE's just not been held in a good light as of late.
Yeah.
And you know, I just realized, right? If they had issues here, imagine what will happen during WrestleMania. Imagine.
Oh, I know.
You would hope that they would have whatever it is that was causing the problems that they were having, that they would have those fixed by WrestleMania. They've got, what, 3 weeks?
They have 3 weeks. That's not enough time.
So you would think they would – it should be.
No.
It should be. They got to tweak this and tweak that just to, you know, make sure that stuff doesn't happen again. You know, those are smart guys that are working – you know, when you're working with stuff that has to do with streaming and the internet and stuff like that, you've got to have guys on there that are smart and know what they're doing and should be able to get this done in a relatively short amount of time. You know, they dropped the ball and they weren't ready for, or they didn't realize how high the traffic was going to be. They didn't anticipate it.
Yeah.
I don't know why else this would have happened. They should have, if it wasn't that, then they definitely should have been prepared for this, knowing that this was the first pay-per-view that was going to be on their streaming service. So.
And I got some more fucked up news. When you integrate the WWE Network and the Peacock, good luck, people, because guess what? They're not going to have all the content in the WWE Network until before SummerSlam. But guess what? You got to wait a few months until before SummerSlam to get all the content from the network. Good luck.
Well, I don't have to worry about it because I dropped my subscription with the WWE Network a long time ago. So, and I don't have to worry about going to Peacock. Don't need to. I have other avenues I can use. So, that's that.
That's fucked. So, okay, now we go to the main event, which is the tribal schmuck, Roman Reigns. Versus the vegan who knows nothing, Daniel Bryan. Before we look to the match again, he's confirmed to be the next 2021 Hall of Famer. I bet you y'all didn't know that.
Well, I saw that on the report, but I was like, wait a minute, what? I didn't.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
well. Came out of nowhere. Anyway, we go to the match. This was fucking boring.
Have they done that before? Have they inducted a wrestler in the Hall of Fame while he's still active?
No, they've never done that before.
I don't recall that ever happening.
So congratulations, Daniel Bryan. You're the first. Congratulations.
Wow.
But anyway. Yeah. So anyway. This was a fucking boring match.
They said that the phrase may have been an error because they now removed it.
So it's an error. Okay. Well, sorry, Daniel Bryan.
Well, there you have it. Christian fixed an error. He didn't know Daniel Bryan is not being inducted into the 2021 Hall of Fame.
That's why you have the fact checkers.
No.
The fact checker,
hey, don't make me tell you, Mama.
Lie!
I'll tell you, Mama.
Anyway, we go to the match. The match is fucking boring. I'm sorry. It's so fucking boring.
Oh, yeah. I disagree.
The beginning part.
Oh,
the beginning part was
no.
boring. Not the rest of the match.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree. I thought the match was good. the match was what I thought it was going to be, because you're going to have somebody that's Brian. Brian's not going to outpower Roman. Roman's a strong, big dude, and he's not going to outpower him. He's going to out-technical wrestle him, and that's what he did. That's what he did in a lot of the match. And I thought that that match was very good. Even the ending was good, I thought.
We'll get to that. So, yeah, okay. So Daniel Bryan was fighting Roman. Yeah, we go towards the end. Roman's beating the shit out of him. Then the ref gets knocked down, of course. So the ref gets knocked down, and Jey Uso comes in. Good job on him. He didn't do the leg kick, so he's catching on. He didn't do it. So he super kicks Edge, who's a third wheel, to be honest. Edge is a third wheel. This is why I said he shouldn't have won the Royal Rumble, because he does not feel important at all. Anyway, he gets super kicked, and then Jey brings the steel chair. He tries to hit Daniel with the steel chair, but then Daniel counters, and then he hits him with the steel chair. And then Daniel inadvertently hits the steel chair on Edge's arm, knocking him down. Roman tries to hit the spear, but Daniel Bryan countered it to the yes lock. And Roman tapped out with his fingers, but then Edge turned. I don't know if this counts as a heel turn or not. I don't know. That's up in question. I don't know if this counts as a heel turn. But he attacks both Daniel Bryan and Roman with a steel chair shot. Edge leaves. Roman, who got hit by the steel chair, was somehow still able to pin Daniel Bryan and win. Even though they equally got hit with the steel chair at the same time, Roman was still more healthy and pinned Daniel Bryan after getting a last yes lock and then a steel chair shot. Okay. So the bottom line
That's the way Roman is. That's the way Roman is, though. That's the way Roman has always been portrayed to be, the no-sell wrestler.
Bum. Yeah, no-selling bum. Anyway, Daniel Bryan loses. Now it's a triple threat match. I don't know who wins at WrestleMania, to be fair. I don't care.
I do.
Well,
I do. I know he's going to win WrestleMania. Edge is going to pin Bryan to win.
Yeah.
And go ahead and tell them what you told me, DJ, because I think that's really important for them to hear.
About as far as what's going to happen with Roman?
Roman, yeah.
Okay, so this has been in the works for quite a while, and I've been saying this, you know, ever since we still had a show on Wrestling Show on YouTube. Because this was a story that was out that a lot of people talked about. But this whole Roman heel thing that he is going through is just a temporary thing. It's
temporary.
And they wanted him to hold the title up until WrestleMania. And so now that we know what happened tonight, it is almost certain that we are going to have ourselves a three-way for the world title, or the SmackDown world title, you know, Roman, Daniel Bryan, and Edge. And I think what's going to happen here, like Arcane said, is to keep Roman still looking strong, the only way that he would be able to lose in a situation like this is for him not to get pinned, but the other person to get pinned, which would be Daniel Bryan. The thing about that is I have a feeling that this is where they're going to start to make Roman become a face again. Because that was what Vince has always wanted him to be. I know deep down inside, Vince never wanted him to be a heel, never wanted him to turn the heel, because he always believed that Roman Reigns, after Cena left, was the next guy to step up and be the face of the WWE. And that's what he wanted. But Vince wound up getting himself backed into a corner, and he had no choice but to turn him heel. But when he did, in the back of his mind, he's like, fine, you know what? I'll do it. I'll turn him heel. It's not going to be forever. You know, we'll have him do his little heel run, do his little thing, get people hating on him, blah, blah, blah. Here comes WrestleMania. Maybe it may not happen at WrestleMania. Maybe it will happen the day after, you know, on that following Raw. But there is going to be a point that Reigns is going to be a face again. And he's going to make sure, or he's going to try to get people to start cheering for him, because that's what he always wanted. So just be prepared for that, because it is coming. And this whole heel thing, and he's done a great job doing this whole heel thing. Fantastic job. This is probably his best work.
Bullshit.
And being in the main roster in the position that he was in. But it's just, unfortunately, it's just not gonna last for much longer. So it's coming. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah, and it's going to be fucking terrible. Fans are still going to boo for this fucker anyway.
They probably will, but I don't know, man. We'll see. Cause they're going to try to make him out to be the victim here. Because Edge, if I see what you saw tonight, it almost looks like, you know, he did some heelish tactics tonight on both of them. And so this is kind of, they're kind of getting the ball rolling on this now.
Daniel Bryan's the one who's fucking interjecting, so technically Daniel Bryan's the dick.
And the other thing too that I'm also thinking could happen is that Heyman turns on him. Turns on Roman. And then that, you know, to make it even more believable and make him even more of a victim. And just, you know what I mean, and just have that happen.
Well, who does he turn against with?
And Jay, even Jay. You know what would even be better, too, is even have Jay turn on. Have his own family, his own blood, his own cousin turn on. And that, you know, to make him even more of the victim, to get people to feel sorry for him. And, you know, oh, woe is me. So I'm just saying, things that are going through my head that, you know, that they could do and possibly do just to try to get people to cheer for him. Because that's what Vince always wanted.
Which is going to fail.
So.
They're going to fucking boo him. They're going to boo him. Watch WrestleMania. It all depends on WrestleMania this 3 weeks. Because there's going to be a live crowd. Here's the question. This is the important question. What happens if they boo him? Because usually when there's a cool heel, they would cheer for the guy. But
that is a risk. That is a risk that you know, and you should know by now, that Vince is willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
So if it works, then it works. If it backfires on him, well, you know, it backfires on him.
So what happens if they boo him? What is that? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
If they boo him?
Yes.
Well, for Vince, it's a bad thing because then it kind of spoils any kind of, you know, idea or ideas that he had to try to get people to cheer for him. And it just didn't – he went the heel route because he gave us what we wanted. He didn't want to, and he didn't for the longest. And then he finally did because he had no choice. He was getting shit on. Everybody wanted it. People were getting fed up. You know, if you need to turn this guy heel, and if you're going to do it, you need to go 100%. Don't half-ass it. You've got to go all the way with it. And he did. I know he hated it. I know he did. That's his boy. Roman Reigns is Vince's boy. That's his golden boy right there. And he's like, you know what, whatever. I'll do it. I'll give them what they want for a little while. I'll let them stew in it. And then I'm gonna screw him because I'm going to – sooner or later, I'm gonna turn Roman back to being a face.
He knows, but he would know that's gonna get him booed again.
Again, it's the risk that he's willing to take.
He's not. He's fucking stupid. Fucking stupid.
He's stupid. RK, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think that DJ's very – it's a very plausible thing to happen, and it's probably right. And, you know, do I like Roman as a face? No. Do I like him as a heel? Yeah, I like him better as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about what Vince wants, though, because Vince is in control and Vince is going to get what he wants 99% of the time. So I think that it doesn't really – Vince doesn't care what you think. You're just a number. And if – but the numbers – baffle him whenever they go down in terms of ratings and all that. But right now he's not concerned with ratings. He's concerned with revenue. And right now he's getting all the revenue he needs from other resources.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't care about anybody but himself.
Fucking schmuck.
Correct.
Fucking jerk. Fucking motherfucker. Hate him.
I mean, he's going to get what he wants, even if it means him giving us a little bit of what we want, just to get what he wants out of it.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. All right, so, gentlemen, it's now time to rate the show. First, Arcane 360, what is your rating for Slowdown? Probably a terrible pay-per-view, but what's your rating for this pay-per-view?
What is Slowdown?
What are we rating it out of 5, out of 10, out of what
we're
are we rating
it
out of?
We're rating it at the number of matches they had on this pay per view, which was 7.
Okay, so rate it out of 7.
Slow down.
Yes, because that's the number of matches they had on this pay per view.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 7. It was about a average show to me. It was kind of average.
Yeah. All right. DJ from FLA, how would you rate this terrible show?
I'm going to give this show a 9. No, I'm just playing. So I can't give it a 3.5, huh? You know what? I'm going to give this show a tiny bit of a benefit of the doubt here. And I'm going to go just a little bit higher than Arcane, just a little higher. I'm going to give it a 4.
Tell me why.
Because there was some good stuff. Because there was some good stuff that happened in here. My main problem with this show, and Arcane's mentioned it before, even with watching the regular shows, you know, like Raw and SmackDown, is that it was just too predictable. A lot of this stuff was too predictable. We knew why some of the things were happening, what they were trying to, you know, accomplish with, you know, having certain things happen. There was a few things that were good about it, but it wasn't a slam dunk by any means. I think a 4 is good enough for this show. And that's, you know, that's not saying much. I'm just saying, I will give it a 4 at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this one a 2.5 out of 7. The 2 for obviously Drew McIntyre and Sheamus and Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. And the 0.5 is the Seth Rollins versus the Shinsuke match because it was good. But other than that, this fucking pay-per-view fucking stunk. This was a goosey egg. This was horrible. This pay-per-view is fucking terrible. And the fact that this was the first pay-per-view for fucking Peacock is a fucking statement right there that this deal is going to be shit, and they know it. Just wait till WrestleMania. People are probably not going to even be able to watch the fucking shit because it's going to freeze a lot. And you can't fucking go back because you can't start from the beginning. That function's not working, and you can't rewind or forward. So guess what? It's a fucking mess.
I'm sure they've already got a lot of feedback by now as far as, and I'm sure they're aware of, you know, the things that went down. So, you know, the smart thing would be is to jump on this right away and fix whatever that needs to be fixed so this crap doesn't happen again. I mean, you know, the next show, the next pay-per-view is a big pay-per-view, at least it's supposed to be anyway for WWE. So there's going to be a ton of people that are going to want to watch it. So they need to jump on this and get on the ball, man, and fix whatever they need to fix to get this thing ready to go and be a bit more prepared.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Yep. Well, everybody, that wraps up Fatal 4-Way Radio Slow Lane Edition. I'd like to thank my co-hosts for joining me at this time. Let them close themselves out. Arcane360, you close out first. Say your goodbyes. Go ahead.
Hey, Christian, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. This was a disappointment, but I kind of had the expectations. So I just hope that WrestleMania is a little bit better than what we got tonight. And to be honest, I don't think they really should even have this show. It could have been done on the regular shows, and it would have made the regular shows that much better. So, again, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it, and see you next time.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for Arcane. Ladies and gentlemen, Arcane360. Okay, now it's time for DJ FLA to close themselves out. Go ahead, DJ, close yourself out.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, Christian, for having me, man. First time being on the show. Appreciate you telling us about it, me and Arcane, and inviting us. And then, you know, maybe, you know, we can do it again another day. So, yeah, man, thank you. Fastlane was exactly what we thought it was going to be. It wasn't the greatest, and we kind of knew it going in. So, but it was something to watch. There were a few good things. And like Arcane said, hopefully, you know, with being a two-day deal, that we get a better WrestleMania this year. So let's hope for that. And you guys let me know what happened on Raw tomorrow night, because, again, I won't be able to watch it. I'll be working. And thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, DJ from FLA. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, what? You can hang up now. Show's over.
All right. Show's over.
All right, bye. All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christian from Philly. I am the Swami. Remember to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it great. Good night, motherfuckers. Good night, you fucking maggots, motherfucking bumps. Good night, motherfuckers.